The epistle for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my mind, in my heart, and that in my bands, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. In the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, there was a British ship which was caught in a storm off the coast of Brazil. It was carrying a large amount of Spanish money and currency. And as the vessel was beyond repair, the captain told his crew and the passengers that they would have to abandon ship. Some of the barrels holding the gold and silver coins were brought up to the deck. But the ship was sinking so fast that the crew was forced to leave the barrels behind. The crew and the passengers made straight for the lifeboats. As the last lifeboat left the sinking vessel, one of the officers heard a hammering noise coming from the deck of the ship. He went back to see who had been left behind. And to his surprise, he found a man sitting on the deck, surrounded with silver coins. He was in the process of trying to open the second barrel with his hatchet. The officer went up to him and tried to pull him away. He shouted at the man, "The ship's going to pieces." But the man shouted back, "Let me go. I've lived in poverty all my life, but now I'm going to die a rich man." When the officer persisted in taking him off the ship, the man threatened him with the hatchet. There was nothing else the officer could do, and so he was forced to abandon this madman to his fate. The officer reached the lifeboat just in time before the ship began to splinter and shatter. And in a few moments, the British vessel was completely submerged, and the man and his silver coins perished with it. Now, my dear friends, in the Gospel for today's Mass, we see the proud Pharisees consulting among themselves as to how they might ensnare our Lord. And so, having decided on a plan, they sent their disciples to him. They set their trap with flattery, as evil men often do. They said to our Lord, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker and teachest the way of God in truth. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And they asked this specific question for a specific reason. If our Lord said it was not lawful to give tribute to Caesar, then the Pharisees would denounce him to the Roman authorities. But if he did say it was lawful, they would denounce him to the people as one who approved of the Roman occupation of their country. Either answer they could use against our Lord. But seeing their thoughts and knowing their scheme, our Lord first exposed their evil intention, and then he gave his answer. He said first, Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? And then he said, Show me the coin of the tribute. And one of them offered him a denarius, which the English translation sometimes speaks of as a penny. St. Matthew tells us, And they offered him a denarius. And our Lord said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. The Pharisees couldn't fail to respond to that question. And as they answered it, they must have sensed that they were the ones now about to be trapped. Because then our Lord spoke these words, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, my dear friends, by telling us to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, our divine Savior clearly teaches us to give to the state all that falls under its jurisdiction. That is, everything that concerns temporal order and public good. In other words, we are to respect the civil authority and are obliged to obey its laws when they are true laws. That is, when the laws are just, good, and necessary for the common welfare of society. But our Savior doesn't stop at those words. He also makes it very clear that we must render to God the things that are God's. And what our Lord was saying was that just as the coin which bears the image of Caesar ought to be restored to Caesar, how much more then should our soul, which bears the image of God, how much more should our soul be restored to God? In other words, man who was made in the image and likeness of God, and who has received all things from him, such as his life, his body, his soul, and the exercise of his free will, he must make a return to God of these great gifts. And what this means for us in the practical order is that we must believe all that God has revealed to us and which the church has taught. And we must also obey the commandments of God and his church. We must then live a good Catholic life. And to live a good Catholic life means simply to live our lives in the state of sanctifying grace. Because, my dear friend, sanctifying grace is the greatest gift that Almighty God has ever given us. As the Baltimore Catechism teaches us, sanctifying grace is that grace which makes us holy and pleasing to God. It makes us, as St. Peter says in his second epistle, we are partakers of the divine nature. Thus, we must hold this as our greatest and most prized possession, one that no one can take away from us. For we are the only ones who can lose it by mortal sin. My dear friends, men have become worldly and attached to earthly things. And when they have done this, they are blinded. They cannot see that the grace of God and His friendship are infinitely more valuable than the things of this world. People of the world shun patience in sufferings and tribulations. They detest the practice of virtue, and they seek only to gratify themselves in the material things of this world, and even the sinful things as well. And they do these things because they mind only the things of earth. They don't see the truth that these passing material things mean nothing when compared to eternity. They act like the man on the ship who chose to die with pieces of silver surrounding him, rather than to save himself and go on board the lifeboat. In our society today, there are countless examples of this. There are the politicians who, for the most part, do whatever is necessary to gain the vote and the support of others. The entertainers of the world, the so-called movie stars, television stars, and the musicians, whom many, in a certain sense, sell their souls to the devil in order to become rich and famous. They never consider where these things will take them, where they will spend their eternity if they don't repent. And then there are the majority of people who think nothing other than this present life, and they give no thought to eternity. But my dear friends, how many Catholics there are, and even traditional Catholics, who shun the cross and the practice of virtue and immerse themselves in amassing material possessions or giving themselves over to such things as immoral and impure movies and music. They choose the passing pleasures of this world over the unending joys of heaven. They are often content to live in the state of mortal sin. And of course, the end of these things, according to St. Paul the Apostle, is destruction. That is to say, eternal damnation in hell if they do not repent. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, "Woe then to him that has loved the world. Woe to him that for the vain and fleeting pleasures of the earth has lost his soul, heaven, and God." My dear friends, we must not be deceived by the craftiness of the devil. Rather, we must follow the example of the saints. We must imitate our Blessed Mother, who, according to St. Bridget, considered all worldly riches to be of no more value than dirt compared to eternity. Practice then a certain detachment from the things of this world. And you can do this by faithfully and generously carrying the daily cross which our Lord gives to us. And never forget that sanctifying grace is indeed your greatest treasure. We must be willing to die before surrendering it. You know, when St. Dominic Savio was tempted to sin, he would frequently say, "Death rather than sin." And we must do the same. For St. Paul says, "As you live, so shall you die." And we can have the utmost confidence that if we strive to live each and every day in the state of sanctifying grace, then we will die in the state of sanctifying grace. All of us here then must render to God what is His, that is, our immortal soul. We are made in His image and likeness. It is God's inscription on our soul. And the inscription of grace was bought back for us at a very great price, an infinite price, that is, through the blood of our divine Savior. Almighty God, in His goodness and love, has created us, and in His infinite love and mercy has redeemed us, and thus we belong to Him. And so may the most blessed Virgin Mary, His mother and our mother, obtain for us the actual grace that we may always render to God the things that are God's. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.